Revelation chapter number 3, verses 14, 15, and 16 says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Right? This is a serious statement. To say, "I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will cast you out of my presence. I will reject you. I will cast you out of my church." So, if it gives such a prospect of judgment, that means then the state of being lukewarm is something very serious that all of us believers, we ought to take very seriously. Am I making sense so far? Now, one of the most dangerous things to find yourself as a believer is to be lukewarm. Lukewarm is compromise. I think those were here in the morning, the 8:30 prayer, it was based on being lukewarm, if you noticed. To be lukewarm, to be a compromiser. Now, let us look at what being lukewarm is not, right? Now, lukewarm is not being eager, not being enthusiastic, not being passionate for God. You are lukewarm, right? That means to be indifferent. So it's not to be eager, to be enthusiastic, to be passionate. Some of us would remember that those who were really, really born again, that after we were born again, we were so eager for God. We were so passionate. We were so enthusiastic. We were on fire for God. It's as if everything else ceased to exist. The only thing that we wanted to do at the time was to live for God. Some people even wanted to leave their jobs so that they could serve the Lord all their lives. You see that? Now, this is the thing when the Lord says, you have left your first love. Return to your first love. Go back and do the things that you used to do for me in my name out of your love for me, out of your zeal for me. But you notice that when we become lukewarm, all these things, they cease. When we become lukewarm, we're no longer doing the things that we used to do for the Lord out of love, out of passion for Him. We don't do them anymore. And the Lord says, I've got this thing against you. You have lost your first love. Go back. Now, somebody who was truly born again will really understand what I'm talking about right here. Some of us, after that we are born again, we wanted to convert the entire world. We wanted to go to be a missionary in India. Said, come hell or high water, I don't know how India looks like. I don't know what happens there, but I want to go to be a missionary. We wanted to go to the deepest parts of Africa. Why? We were in love. We didn't care about losing our jobs. We didn't care about losing our money. We didn't care about losing our property. We didn't care about losing our relations. We didn't care. You see, when you are in love with Jesus, everything else ceases to exist in your world. But then the terrible and dangerous state of being lukewarm sets in, which God hates with a passion. He says, if you continue in this, I'm going to reject you. I'm going to cast you out of my kingdom. You may still be a churchgoer. You may still be a church member, but I've cast you out of the body of my Son, because the true church is Jesus Christ. The true church is not the building. No, it's not the property. The true church is Jesus Christ. God will not cast you out. He will not reject you out of the building, the property, because that's not the church, but He will out of His Son. He says, I will vomit you if you continue in the state that you are in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lukewarm is no longer, when we no longer feel the push and the pull to live for God alone. There was a time when we could not compromise God. We wanted to live for God and for God alone. Some of us found it difficult when we had to settle down in marriage because we felt like the marriage was going to crowd God out. It was going to mess up with my love for God. It was going to mess up with my devotion for God. You see, that's the time when we were hot for God. That's why he says, you are neither cold nor hot. What has happened to you? God would understand if it's understandable if you have apostatized. If you have fallen off, you are no longer a Christian. You are cold, you are dead. But when you are in the middle, it's a very confusing state. You are neither coming nor going. You are neither going nor coming. This is the thing that the Lord is rebuking, that is warning against. Is the church still following me? Lukewarm is when that love, that mad love we had for Jesus, is between existent and non-existent. It's a confusing state. You can't, even yourself, you can't explain yourself anymore. Who are you really? Who are you? Because the love for God in you, in your heart, in your life is between existent and non-existent. One foot in the world, one foot in Christ. And we know that's something that does not really exist. Hallelujah. Lukewarm is when we are going with the flow, when we are going through motions. When they're going left, you go left. When they're going right, you're going right. Without understanding what you're doing, because your heart is no longer involved. Your heart is torn in two. It's torn in between. You can never be in love with somebody when your heart is torn in between. When you are not fully in love with that person. Am I talking to somebody? Your heart. Because something that you love, you give your whole heart to. This is the reason why the word of God says, Jesus Christ says, the Bible says, it is written that you ought to love God with all your heart. You ought to love God with all your mind. You ought to love God with all your soul. You ought to love God with all your strength. What did he mean? You should not compromise him. God is a jealous God. He cannot share you. He cannot share me with anybody, not even with the desires of our heart, not even with the desires that are in the world that are always calling and always pulling. Am I talking to somebody? When we are lukewarm, we no longer have drive, no goal, no ambition to pursue God, no drive, no goal, no ambition to live for him. It's not there anymore. When we make plans, they don't revolve around God. When we make plans, they don't include God anymore. Whereas before, everything that we made, it included God. God had to be number one. God had to be a priority. But when we are lukewarm, it's no longer like that. Because when we are lukewarm, we are compromising everything. God is no longer the factor to be considered as a matter of priority. You know we are lukewarm in your life. When the decisions you are making, when the plans that you are making, God is no longer the factor to be considered as a matter of priority. You know we are lukewarm, my friend. You know we are lukewarm. And we know lukewarm does not please God. How do we know? He says, I will reject you, I'll kick you out, I will vomit you. Vomit is a very strong language. I'll vomit you. Yep. That means to make him nauseous. Nauseous. When you take lukewarm water, it will make you feel very nauseous. You might even throw up. We know that, right? Yeah. Lukewarm is not a good state. A person who is lukewarm is comatose. You know when you're comatose? You are neither alive nor dead. You are neither dead nor alive. You are critical but stable. You are in a coma. People are in a coma. They are unconscious, but they are not dead. Am I talking to somebody? When you are in a coma, you are unconscious, but you are not dead. So when you're comatose, you are neither dead nor alive. That's why God says, I will vomit you. Because you are making no sense at this point. In the spirit, you are comatose. You are neither dead nor alive. But one thing is for sure. In the spirit, you are unconscious. That means you are not alive. You are neither cold nor hot. You are in between. You are comatose. A person who is in a coma is in between the world of the living and the world of the dead. It's a very dangerous state to be in. This judgment, this possible judgment, this prospective judgment that it speaks about, it's very serious. If God says, I will reject you, it's a big thing to be rejected by God. You can be rejected by your pastor and not by God. You can be rejected by your church and not by God. You can be rejected by your denomination and not by God. My friend, if you are rejected by God, there's no hope for you in this world. There's no hope for you in this life. If God vomits you, got nowhere to run to. You don't have to run to the devil, he'll come for you. When God rejects you, the devil comes for you. He comes and collects, he's a collector. He comes and collects you. That's what he did with the man called Judas Iscariot. The devil came and collected him. Came and collected him. He didn't have to run to him. He came to collect him. Lukewarm is being stale. Stale means no longer fresh or pleasant. No longer fresh nor pleasant to eat. Stale. That's why he says, I'll vomit because you're stale. You're no longer fresh. No longer pleasant in the spirit. Hallelujah. Stagnant means to be stagnant. No movement, no current, no motion, and it stinks. Stagnant means no movement. There's no movement, there's no motion, there's no current. Where there's no movement, there's no life. I say, where there's no movement, there's no life. There is no growth. That believer, there's no growth. They are not growing. They are stale and they are stagnant. And in the spirit, they are stinking. They stink. When something stinks, what is that? That's a sign of death. It's a sign of dying. Sign of death. Death comes with a stench. That means this thing is stagnant. It's no longer, there's no movement. There's no growth. There's no life anymore in it. Lukewarm believers that the Lord has an issue with, they are traditional and religious. They are traditional. You know, traditional and religious people, they do something and their hearts are not involved in it. They do something and they don't even understand why they are doing it. If you ask them, why are you doing this? They don't know. They take Holy Communion. Ask them, what are you doing? What does this mean to you? And they are taking it traditionally and religiously, but it's got no meaning for them. There's no heart involvement. Why? Because these people are lukewarm. They come to church, they listen to the message, but the message does not register. The message does not mean anything because immediately they leave the church, immediately they've heard the message, they don't remember anything. They will never lift a finger to put the message into practice. Why? These people are traditional. They are religious. And why? Because they are lukewarm. They are familiar. They've become familiar. Familiar with church. Familiar with how things are done in church. They are familiar with the move of the Spirit. When someone is laying in the Spirit, it doesn't move them. When there's a manifestation in church, it doesn't move them. Of course, this one is in a coma. They are daydreaming. They're in a coma. This is a walking zombie, a walking corpse. They're in a coma. Their hearts are not involved. They don't know what they are doing. Keep coming to church, going to church religiously, diligently, but ask them what they are doing, they don't know. Church is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because church is Jesus Christ. They have the form of godliness without the power to make them godly. They are rejecting the power that makes them godly. They've become, of course, lukewarm. They are clouds without water. They are empty. They speak of lofty, high things that they cannot produce. They don't actually even know what they are talking about. These are clouds without water. Lukewarm believers are clouds without water. Clouds without water. They have outward profession without inward substance. What they say is not what they are inside. Profession without inward substance. They are carried away by things. Everything that comes, it carries them away. They are tossed to and fro by winds. Any wind that comes, it carries them away. The wind of feminism, they are carried away. The wind of the so-called prophetic, they are carried away. The wind of the so-called deliverance, they are carried away. Everything carries them away. The wind of prophesy, Papa, carries them away. The wind of can I prophesy, carries them away. These people are lukewarm. Why? They are neither dead nor alive. They are sitting ducks for the devil. They are Satan's targets. They can follow any manner of deception that anyone comes up with because they've got no discernment. They have the form of godliness, but they are rejecting the power that makes them godly. Can you see that? Lukewarm people are indifferent. They are lackadaisical. They are tolerant. They compromise. Tolerating things we're not supposed to be tolerating. Now, here's the thing. This is the opposite of someone who is hot, who is on fire for God. Exactly the picture that I gave of how we were when we first were born again. We're on fire for God. We couldn't tolerate. We could not compromise. We could not do it. We could not do it. There was something on the inside that was so strong. There was an inner witness on the inside that was so strong. There was a power on the inside that was so strong. Now for believers, there is no longer something that is strong on the inside, but what is strong is that which is on the outside. And it pulls them, drags them out of the grace that God has called them in. People who are, or rather, when we become lukewarm, we become short-sighted. Not blind, short-sighted. And partially blind. A lukewarm person is not taught completely blind in the spirit. They are partially. That's why he says, I'd rather you had sight or you were totally blind. But not partially, because we are a very dangerous person like that. You have the potential to turn a lot of people away from God. You have the potential to turn a lot of people against God. Because they say, if to be a Christian is to be like you, I will never be a Christian like that again. So that means everything I've heard about Christianity and everything I've heard about Christians, it is true, you are the proof. I'll never be a Christian again in my life. That's why God says, I'll vomit you. Because you do damage in my kingdom. You are closing the door to salvation for so many people. Even you being unaware that you are doing so. When we have grown lukewarm, when we've begun to compromise, our moral sense is compromised. Our moral judgment is compromised. Our moral compass is compromised. The lines between right and wrong are blurred. The lines between sin and righteousness are blurred. We no longer know the difference. Our moral compass is compromised. Our sense, Our moral sense, our moral judgment is compromised. The lines are blurred. So we just move, we crisscross. We don't know when we are crossing the lines. Lukewarm. Christ says we are not a good testimony. In fact, we are a bad testimony when we are lukewarm. This is why you notice believers who are believers and they're Christians, they begin to patronize the underworld. They begin, why the lines are blurred. They go to sangomas, they go to nyangas, they go to false prophets, the lines are blurred. They go for tarot card reading, whatever that is. They go for all of these things, palm reading and all of these things. They follow stars, the interpretation of which are given by Satanists. Given by Satanists. The stars that you follow. I'm a Pisces, I'm a Leo, I'm a this. And you read these things. Do you not understand that these things are not written by Christians? It's not Christians that have interpreted these things. These Christians are lukewarm. The lines are blurred. They don't know the difference any longer. God says, I'll vomit you. Because now the Bible has become inadequate. The Bible is no longer enough to tell you about your life. The Bible is no longer enough to tell you about your future. Now you rather go to the stars. You go to read about the stars, whatever you call it. When something happens, you go to a sangoma to look for an answer. The Bible is no longer enough. God himself is no longer enough. What has happened, my friend? And you still go to church, by the way. You still have your church membership, by the way. You still give your tithe, by the way. You still give your offering, by the way. What has happened? You are lukewarm. You stink. They stink. Stink. You've become stale. You're no longer fresh and pleasant for consumption. That's why you are to be vomited. No longer fresh, no longer pleasant for consumption. Worshipping God, you are worshipping God and you are worshipping ancestors. You're a very confused person. Jesus says, I don't know you. And unless you change and repent, I have no fellowship with you. I have no fellowship with you. This is the season when a lot of us go home. Our ancestral homes. And when we go there, we're going to indulge in these things. Why? Because the lines are blurred. Your morality has gone out the window as a Christian. Don't know what to do and what not to do anymore. And you know what we do? We begin to justify. Lukewarm believers, they begin to justify. Justify what they are doing and why they are doing it. The moment you begin to justify, you are wrong. Because your justifier is God, not yourself. The moment you begin to justify, you are wrong. You do rituals that are not Christian. You do rituals that are not known in the kingdom of God. And you know exactly, we are doing these rituals in the kingdom of darkness. You are touching the kingdom of light and you are touching the kingdom of darkness in equal measure. You are a blasphemer. You are blaspheming. You are a blasphemer. That's a serious sin, to be a blasphemer. We are blaspheming God. We are blaspheming his kingdom. We are blaspheming his son. We are blaspheming his church. We are blaspheming the blood that was shed for you at Calvary. You are a blasphemer. A partaking, a partaker of both worlds, darkness and light. You are lukewarm. You are comatose. You are a walking zombie. You have no sense of identity. Don't really know who you are. And this is a spirit, by the way. This is why God says, be zealous and repent. We'll read it. In Revelation 3, he says, be zealous. Be zealous. Be serious. Extremely serious. Be enthusiastic. Be eager. Be passionate. This is a serious matter. be zealous and repent. Because when you are lukewarm, you are not dead, but you are dying. As a Christian, as a believer, you are in a state of dying, not a state of death. You are not dead yet, but you are going there very fast. It's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. Going home, this time you buy a goat, you slaughter it, and you speak and you do all of these things. And you know you're not speaking to God, you're speaking to devils. You are slaughtering a goat to devils. You are offering the blood. You are sacrificing the blood to devils. See what we're talking about? We are dying. And this leads to spiritual barrenness, spiritual unfruitfulness. Totally barren. When you offer prayer, there's no God to hear the prayer. Because you are not where you should be. You're not where you ought to be. And there's no God who can hear. As the Bible says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, to change, to transform us. Always learning. Always learning. But never able to come to the knowledge of the transforming power. There's a transforming power. There's a power that makes you a different person. There's a power that makes you a child of God. There's a power that makes you a son of God. There's a power that makes you a daughter of God. There's a power that makes you an heir of God. There's a power that makes you a joint heir with Christ. There is a power that makes you a child of God. But not when we compromise. Not when we compromise. Always learning. And never able to come to that transformative truth that's got power to change. To give you power not to compromise. To give you power to stand resolutely. Stand resolutely. Listen, the devil is always going to challenge us. Please settle that in your heart. He's always going to do it. Unless you are resolute in your spirit, unless you are resolute in your heart, unless you are resolute in your mind, Satan is always, especially in this festive season that we are in, when we mix and we mingle with our families that we have not seen since the days of yore. Will you be able to stand? Stand for Jesus. Stand for truth. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. If you deny me, if you compromise me when you are with people, if you compromise me when you are with your relatives, if you compromise me when you're with your friends, with your colleagues, I'll deny you before my dad. I don't know you. To my father, I'll say, I don't know you. You couldn't stand. You don't stand. You're a compromiser. You're a lukewarm fellow. You're a lukewarm person. Hallelujah. Second Timothy chapter number 3. Please read it for me. 2 Timothy chapter number 3.
2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 to 5, New King James Version. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away.
Let's forget about the world. Our business is with the church. This epistle was written to the church. Okay, so let's focus on the church here. We have no business to do with the world at this point. Now it says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous, dangerous. The dangers of being lukewarm, the dangers of compromise, dangerous times will come. This was a prophecy. This is a prophecy. It signified these days that we are living in. It pointed to our own generation. We are this generation. We are this generation. Now it says, men will be lovers of themselves. They will be selfish. They will be self-conceited. They will be self-centered. Lovers of themselves. Hey, whether you know it or not, you don't need to be spiritually discerning. This is the generation in the which we live. Lovers of themselves and lovers of money. That's what they pursue. That's what they are chasing. It's all about money. They are obsessed with money. They are worshiping money. They are bowing to money. They can do anything. This generation can do anything and everything for money. This generation can compromise. This generation of believers, of church believers, they compromise for money. They compromise God for money. But they'll never compromise the places of work where they get a pay money. They'll never compromise in their own businesses where they got a pay. They will always give an excuse to God when it comes to the things of God. They will always give an excuse to church because they are lovers of money. They are lovers of themselves. They are obsessed with it. They wake up 4 o'clock in the morning. They wake up 3 o'clock in the morning to get themselves ready to go to work. They'll never wake up at 6 o'clock for church. They'll never wake up at 6 o'clock for church. This is the generation. We are living in perilous times. This is the generation of compromisers. This is the generation of lukewarm believers, lukewarm Christians. Jesus is not proud. He's not proud. And by the way, the one who's speaking in Revelation is Jesus Christ. The one who says, I'll vomit you, is Jesus speaking in first person. This is the generation, sadly. Says they are boasters, they are proud, they are blasphemers. They speak against holy things that they've got no understanding of. And they mock those that are on fire for God. Please, don't worry when other believers are mocking you for being on fire for God. Don't worry. They were foretold they would be there. They were prophesied. Oh, when you're always in church and you always see visions, you always lean in the spirit, you always hear God. Don't worry. These are blasphemers. They are in church. These are blasphemers. They are lukewarm. They are speaking against holy things. They have no understanding what they're talking about. They have no idea what they're talking about. Some of us, it will be wherever we stay when you will be told that you are praying too much. Where you'll be told that you are always reading the Bible. No, don't worry. This is the generation. You'll be accused for always. They say, you know, they're exaggerating. They say, you're always reading the Bible. If you're saying, I'm always reading the Bible, that means it's 24/7 and that's not possible. I've got other things to do. You are praying. Your prayers are too long. You think you are holier than thou. It's the spirit in that believer. It's the spirit that is influencing that believer. And it's the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist. And John told us it is already in the world. This is the spirit that is opposing anything and everything that has got to do with God. This is the spirit that is opposing any and every believer that is on fire for God. This is an unrelenting spirit. That's why you need a serious resolve. It's come to oppose anything that we do for God and in line with God. It says disobedient to parents, unthankful. These are believers in church that are ungrateful to God for what he has done for them. Even when God is blessing them, they don't see it. The God who is healing them, they don't see it. The God who protects them from accidents, they don't see it. The God who gives them promotion at work, and they know I don't deserve the promotion. But they're unthankful. They're ungrateful. Even they know themselves. They get shocked when they are rated for their KPIs. When they're rated 3, like you're meeting the standard, they get shocked because they know they don't do nothing. But they're unthankful to God, because this is the grace of God. They're unthankful for the grace of God, for the love of God. When other people are dismissed, they are not dismissed. And honestly, there's no reason. They know there's no reason to keep them, because they're no better. In fact, better people get dismissed, but they're not dismissed. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. They're unthankful. These are lukewarm people in the church. They're unthankful. All the sacrifice that some believers do to keep the church of God running, they don't see it. They're ungrateful. They don't see it. All the compromise that God-loving people do, they don't see it. They're ungrateful. They're ungrateful. That's why you find a few people in the church are doing the bulk of the work of the church, or the bulk of they carry the bulk of the responsibilities of the church. Others, they're comatose. What do you expect? They're comatose. They don't see anything. They are unthankful. They are rejecting the grace of God. They are unholy. They are profane. They are secular. We are living in a profane generation. This is the secular, as secular can be, generation that we are living in right now. Everything. They are fighting everything that is of God. They are against the Bible. They are against the Word of God. That's why they're removing it from schools. They're removing it from public places. It's a profane generation. It's unholy. They are profane. They'll be pushing things that are directly opposite to the Word of God. Why? Don't be surprised, please. They are profane. You know what is profane? They are profane. They are unholy. It's an unholy generation. This is a generation that celebrates, that embraces, that welcomes, that rejoices in unholy things, in unholiness. They manufacture, they produce unholiness, and they give it to the world, and the world laps it up, hook, line, and sinker, hollers, bollers. The generation we're living in, it's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. This is when you as a child of God needs to shine in this perverse generation. Don't follow the ways of this perverse generation. You are either a man or you are a woman. You are either a male or you are a female. That is godly. That's the nature of God. Please don't follow anything else. Please. This is a perverse generation. Don't be carried away with things, by tossed to and fro, by winds. These are winds. These are winds. How can we have both girls and boys at university sharing the same bathrooms? These are winds, profane winds. This is a wind. Don't follow it. These are winds. Well, now there's a problem with titles. Are you a Mr. or a Madam or a Miss? Mr., Miss, no. It must be blurred now. See, every time where there's compromise, there's a blurring of lines. Left is no longer left. It's the other side of right. Right is no longer right. It's the other side of left. There's a blurring of lines. Am I talking to the church? They are unholy, they are unloving. Of course, they are too obsessed with themselves. They are preoccupied with themselves. They don't care about somebody else. This generation does not care about poor people. This generation does not care about people who are suffering. This generation can do anything to climb the ladder. Their only focus is to climb the ladder. That's all they are concerned about. Whether you die down there, whatever happens to you, they don't care. They are lovers of themselves. And they're lovers of money. This is the generation. Do not compromise the standards of God. This is a call. It's a clarion call right now. Do not compromise the standards of God. Noah lived in the midst of a perverse generation. And he stood out. So you can see it's possible to stand out. And if you read the scripture, it continues to say, God knows how to deliver the righteous from temptation. He delivered Noah. No, only 8 people saved out of the whole generation. Crazy. If you come to think of it. God is looking for Noahs today that will stand in the midst of a perverse generation and refuse to compromise. The Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. In the midst of a perverse generation, never compromised righteousness. Never did. This generation is forcing the church to marry people other than males and females. The church is forced. This generation. But guess what? We are not going to be moved. We're not going to be moved. We're going to dig our heels in. And we're not going to move. We're not going to compromise. Noah never compromised. King Ahab, of course, we know not King Ahab, but it was the evil wife, Jezebel. She hunted Prophet Elijah for this reason. He's the man who refused to compromise. Elijah refused to compromise. He was the state enemy number one. Jezebel killed righteous, holy prophets of God. But God protected Elijah and the other prophets that the Lord told him that he had reserved for himself. This is what God is looking for, church. For us to stand. For us to shine in this generation. For us to shine in these times. They are unloving, they are unforgiving, of course. I mean, they are full of themselves, they are proud. The Bible says they are boasters. What do they care about forgiving others? They don't care about people, they care about themselves. They are slanderous, not able to speak well of others. They are accusers like the devil. See, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. They are accused, the children of Satan. They are also slanderous and accusers like their father. And this is the spirit that has crept into the church. This is why the children of God in the church of God, they don't love one another. They speak ill of one another. They gossip one another. They backchat one another. They backbite one another. Why? The spirit of the Antichrist has crept into the church. They don't speak well. They don't speak well. In the animal kingdom, the animals, they close rank. They surround the injured animals to protect them. They surround the weak animals to protect them. They surround the aging animals to protect them. They surround the babies to protect them. It is only in the Christendom that we don't do that. When someone is weak, we feast on them. When someone falls, we feast on them. In the animal kingdom, they close rank, they protect. Christians, we are the only kingdom that doesn't do that. And that's not the spirit of God. That's not the spirit of God. We're supposed to close rank on one another. And not expose The world must not know what is happening. We need to close rank. We need to cover each other. We need to cover one another. What happens in the Christian dome, anything that is in media concerning a pastor, concerning a church, we let rip. We let rip. We're going to buy serious data to start and discuss about this. Without knowing the merits, without knowing the facts, we are already passing judgment. You are lukewarm. You are lukewarm. Your moral compass is dead. Your sense of judgment is dead. How can you pass judgment when you don't know the merits? How can you pass judgment when you don't know the facts? No, this pastor did this and this. You sit in media. You believe. Do you know who runs media, by the way? It's not God. God doesn't run media. Do you know who runs media? Do you know the spirit? The spirit that runs media. The media of this world. When something happens, we're supposed to close rank. But because the spirit of the Antichrist has crept into the church. We are proud, we are boastful, we are arrogant, we are conceited, we are unloving, we are unforgiving. What an indictment, unloving. We can have another service on unloving. What an indictment. What an indictment in the Christian dome. I'll say it for the last time. When someone has done wrong in the church, we ought to close rank. We ought to cover. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins, but not your love, but to claim to be Christian. Your love doesn't cover, your love exposes. Your love doesn't cover, your love runs to tell another neighbor, you know what we Sunny did. That's how we know that you are lukewarm. You are in the process of dying. People who miss church, you're going to tell them what was happening in church, but not the good things, but the gossip. People who didn't come to church, they miss church, but they're going to hear from you gossip. Not what the message was about, not what the title of the message was, not how wonderful the worship was, not how wonderful the prayer was. No, you don't say that. Not how wonderful the testimonies were. No. Because you are lukewarm, you are dead, you are stinking, you're no longer fresh, nor pleasant to eat. You're a disgrace. Disgrace to the kingdom. Disgrace to the body. Only good things ought to come out of your mouth. Things that build. Grace must come out of your mouth. Grace. Grace. Glory to God. What are we dealing with today? The dangers. It's dangerous. Dangerous. It's painful to hear the word of God says unforgiving, that there can be someone called a Christian who is unforgiving. You know, unforgiving, you're not even trying to forgive. That's how hardened the person is. Not even trying to forgive because it's got a wrong spirit inside. Now it says without self-control. That means they are slaves to their own desires. They are imprisoned. Lukewarm people are imprisoned by their own desires. They are brutal. They are cruel. They are despisers of good. That's what I'm saying. They despise good. They won't report about good things. The media, the media's focus is not to report on good things. Why? Because Satan is the accuser. Satan is the slanderer. The spirit running the media is the spirit of the Antichrist. Even you, when you are a purveyor, not of good things, you know which spirit is using you. Because a Christian should be carrying good things and good things only. Traitors, betraying one another, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They find pleasure in the world rather than in God. When you are that Christian, you know that you are too far down the line. Muruti, And you're already thinking outside. Your body is here, as the song goes, but your mind is on the other side of these walls. The spirit which is not the spirit of God is calling you. The spirit that is not of God is calling you, because the spirit knows you belong to their kingdom, even though you are in church. Because church is not the four walls. Because church is not the property. The spirit they know, the Antichrist spirit, they know their own. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. These are religious people. Amplified, I like it. It says, their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. Their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. Now, I love this. Listen to this. And from such people, turn away. Listen, you Christians. The people that you come to church with, if they are lukewarm, don't keep company with them. Unless it is to point them to Christ. If you don't have the guts, leave them alone. The Bible says, turn away from them. Turn away from them. Turn away. Don't try to be wiser than the Bible. Don't try to be wiser than the Holy Spirit. He tells you, turn away from, keep away. When you see this brother or sister, like, this one. And indeed, when they come there, they start gossiping. Yeah. You saw how Brother Dinesh was behaving. I don't like you. So what happened there? When we're there by the toilet, you, this other lady. You see? Really? Christian? Really? Turn away. If someone causes you to lose track in church who is a Christian, you allow them. The Bible says, turn away. What does the Bible say? Unless to correct us. Hey, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's talk faith, not people. Let's discuss Bible, not people. Not who is doing what, who is not doing. No, let's discuss Bible. The word of God. The word of God. This is the generation we are living in. It is the me generation. The do me generation. The me time generation. The love yourself generation. The reward yourself generation. The put me first generation. You have seen these words all over. Reward yourself. Love yourself. Put yourself first. That's not the doctrine of the Bible. It sounds good. That's the whole point of deception. It sounds good, but it's deceiving. That's not the doctrine of the Bible. Do me. Me time. Wow. This is a narcissistic generation. In love with themselves, they are lovers of self. The democratic generation that is obsessed with their rights, but not with the responsibilities that go with the rights. Everything is their right. They have a right to be evil. The rights the generation, this generation is fighting about, these are the rights to do evil. These are the rights to go against the grain of the Bible, to go against the grain of the scriptures, to go against the grain of holiness. These are the rights they want. The rights to be other than a he or a she. Now, this is the right they're fighting about. The right to kill unborn babies. This is the right they are fighting about. The right to abortion. This is the right they are fighting about. The spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. People, they say they are woke. No, they are not woke. They are fast asleep. This woke is very fast asleep. This walk is not spiritual. This walk does not walk according to the scriptures. This walk of today. This is not the concept of the kingdom. It's not a holy concept. It's not a righteous concept. It's not. To be woke, you have to accept all the nonsense. Then you are woke. To accept all the chamors, then you are woke. No. fast asleep in the spirit. And the Bible says, we mustn't be sleeping, for the time is near. The time is near. Church, don't be carried away with these things. Don't be swept away with these things. There's no feminism in the kingdom of God. It doesn't exist. Neither is there male chauvinism in the kingdom of God. Either side, the extremes, they don't exist. We are brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God, and we are commanded to love one another as we have been loved ourselves. Let us not espouse these strange doctrines, these strange fires, these strange concepts. Because when we do, inadvertently, we are compromising the truth. And God is not pleased. I say, and God is not pleased. Oh, hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, the dangers of compromise. Revelation 3, 19 and 20. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. God says, as many as I love, I correct and I discipline. Now, we talk about kingdom of God, not the kingdom of the world. In the kingdom of God, there's correction. In the kingdom of God, there's discipline. In the kingdom of God, there's instruction. In the kingdom of God, there's training. We're talking about the kingdom of God, which we need to turn away people from being lukewarm, from being compromisers. We are in need of God's rebuke and chastening. He says, therefore, be zealous and repent. Be zealous. He didn't just say repent, by the way. Be zealous. Be prompt. Be zealous. Be prompt. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. If you hear my word, if you open your heart and repent, I will have fellowship with you and you will have fellowship with me and we'll have fellowship together. He's not talking about a physical door. He's talking about access to your heart. The door to your heart. The door of your heart. If you listen, remember, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Now, he says, if you hear today, if you hear, if you are listening, you open your heart and you turn. He says, I will come in immediately. We'll have fellowship together. We'll have a relationship together. We'll have communion together. This is the word of the Lord. May God bless his word.